Welcome to Because I Want to Know, the podcast where I interview guests about their crazy unique occupations or life experiences. I'm your host, Leslie Fear. So let's get into it, shall we? Hey everyone, today I'm joined with Annika, and she is my reincarnation girl. That's what I have her as in my phone, guys. Okay. I saw her videos on TikTok, you guys know me, and I was absolutely blown away with the information she came back with, because guys, she remembers way more than I've ever heard anybody who's ever been reincarnated or claims to be has remembered. So Annika, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. Oh,
thank you for being on the show, because your stories, and you kind of just start out, guys, I don't really talk about this, but I'm just going to tell you what happened to me. And you start in on, I picked my parents, I picked my life. I mean, tell me how this started with you.
Yeah. Okay. So to bring it to the very beginning, when I was a really small child, I just had these memories that didn't make sense, where I was kind of tall or an adult body. And I was in places that I know that my parents had never taken me. Wow. And so, yeah, with those first couple memories, I was so young, I didn't have the words to know what I was looking at. Yeah. But thankfully, as I got older, I didn't forget them. I kept them in the back of my mind. And when I was able to put language to it, I was able to recall and bring back a lot of the things that I had experienced.
Wow. Okay. So you talked about, you know, your past life, you remember details from the in-between. So can we talk about how you felt before you even incarnated?
Yes. So the in-between, it took place in between when I died in my last life to when I was born in this one.
Okay.
And so I don't necessarily remember the details of the afterlife. I personally believe those are kept a little bit more under wraps and secret. But I do remember leaving to visit family and friends from that last life. And so, I mean, it sounds super cliche, but I really was just like a consciousness that was out of body. And I would kind of pop into events and just visit people that I loved.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty much like what I remember from the in-between and picking my parents after.
Right. Now, were you like, I know you were a consciousness. Did you feel like you had a body at all? Or was it just literal consciousness?
No, I actually was like a little orb. That's what I would describe it as. Or like a little ball or something. And I believe if I were to look at myself, it would look like a, maybe like a bubble. You know how they're translucent, but like a little rainbow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I would describe it.
Wow. Okay. So see, that's just so incredible to me, because, you know, we're so human. We're so physical here. So we're just like, well, how do you do it without a body? And you're like, you can't do it with the body. You have to be in that state, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And people, yes. I noticed that people on your comments were like, why would you come back? And why would you pick parents that you weren't going to be with? And why, you know, and this is what I've learned from near-death experiencers. And I don't know, I think you and I talked about it a little bit on phone conversations, that I know that up there, there's no like ego. Like there's no, you hate somebody, you don't like somebody, you're embarrassed, whatever. Yes. And so, yeah. And so when you plan your parents, you plan your life or whatever, you're looking at it from a soul evolution kind of way, as opposed to, you know, I don't ever want to reincarnate with that person again because they hurt me. You do that to go through the hurt or to have the euphoria, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. In my experience, I did not feel any sort of hatred towards anybody. And it's kind of a fact that I carry with myself into this lifetime. And I feel like it's such a blessing. I feel like a lot of people like embody, like it takes a long time or like many journeys and experiences to get to a point of like having really no ill feelings towards people and to others. Because I have it known as a fact that at the end of the day, like, life is very short. Like, we're going to end up dying, and then we're just going to meet up and, like, hang out and, like, play with each other after. And
exactly.
This isn't, right, in my experience, but, like, I've heard other people talk about, you know, like, seeing animals in heaven and, like, animals that had mauled each other in life, that they're playing happily and, like, wagging their tails and, you know, things like that. So I definitely feel like just the way that we carry emotions and feelings about people and things in life, it's very much like, I think, a giant illusion. But I don't want to like discredit like, you know, like anything horrible that has happened to people, like the evil actions people have put on to you and everything. So I know that those are all like so very real and so valid. and everything. And I do believe that those people do have consequences in the afterlife. But as a whole, you know, we're pretty much one. We all love each other at the end of the day, I think.
Well, and I do think that we all go back. I don't care who you are, how bad you were, how good you were. And I do think that some people, there's no hell. I know you probably know that. But I also think the people that didn't do great things here that were really kind of evil, they just land on a different frequency. You know what I'm saying? Yes. They can't be like my mom died, and I can actually talk to her. I think I told you. And she's not where my dad landed because my dad wasn't the best guy in the world. Yes. So, but I could still communicate with him, you know, even though he kind of put himself in a self-imposed solitary confinement, which is so crazy. But he did it to himself because he said he always felt source all around him. You know, and, you know, people are like, well, what about God and heaven and Jesus and all that? And I am not at all religious, but I think Jesus walked the earth and all the things. But there's no religion there. Don't you agree with me? There's no religion there.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I've talked about it a little bit on my TikTok, but I think that religion is too corrupted with money and power to. I think it has like the bare essence of what exists and like what's true. Like they get like some things right, you know, but overall it's too. I don't know. I don't think that that kind of power and money is of God in the universe. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I do think that's my opinion. No, and I agree, because I do think that just specifically religion was invented to control the masses. So, you know, if that's the case, then yeah, it's not the best. But I do agree with you. I do think that there were some baseline things that were good for morals, and they just kind of got corrupted with money and power and all the things. So, but back to you. Okay. So, when you were remembering your prior life, you said that you were born in England in like the late 1800s, which is so cool. So more the Edwardian age and Gilded Age kind of time. And then, so I'm sure you love all those period piece movies and stuff. So when you were remembering those things, there were details and you were able to look them up. Now, I know you don't really know the actual person you were, because a lot of people aren't necessarily famous, you know, going back. So tell me kind of what you remember with that.
So, yeah, when I was a little kid in my last life, I would say I was maybe born around 1890s to early 1900s. And I just remember like wearing all these like little like white dresses, like little girls' dresses of the times. And when I look for pictures of like those specific ones, like upper class, like girls, kids dresses, you know, it looks pretty much the same. And like I had like white little pumps and yeah, it was a huge countryside estate manor.
Yeah, you like were born massive. Into wealth, right? You were like really born into like aristocracy, right?
Yes. Yeah. I believe it was such a huge home. It was definitely a multi-generational, like, so I'm not sure like whose kid I was, you know, like, but I definitely lived in that area. And there was lots of paved areas. There was like sculpted bushes into like cute shapes and things. We had fountains and like garden areas. For the garden area, the most accurate like modern depiction that I've ever seen of it is, I don't remember which one, but there was a live action Alice in Wonderland movie from, I watched it when I was a kid. I think it might be early 2000s, but I think there was like a scene where they were like out in the garden and it pretty much looked like that exact same style.
Oh, really?
The inside, yes, yeah. The inside of the house was like a lot of dark wooden paneling, like full wall paneling, even on the ceilings too. Like some rooms had paintings or engravings and others were just like paneling. I don't know. It made it look so weird, but just my opinion.
Anyway. Yeah. And you were also, as you grew a little older, you said you were married, but you talked a little bit about like working in vaudeville and even going off into the circus. What?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. So pretty much when, I don't know what happened there. So I would have been around 11, 12, 13. And vaudeville, I probably did it when I was a little younger, to be honest, because that was more of like a socially acceptable thing to do. It's like more like theater, like, okay, like, even though it was still like, it was like the alternative people of the time. People that did vaudeville had weird, crazy hairstyles and, you know, dressed interestingly. So there is definitely a part of probably like that I was like shunned for it or wanted to go into the arts. But I'm not sure, because I think that my family might have been progressive. I believe that I went to a school with boys and girls. So I believe that they would have let me partake in possibly doing circus stuff. But something that I actually just found out recently was that wow, there's truth to the saying that she ran away to the circus, because people would do that all the time. People would do that to escape family and to start a new life for themselves. So it was already a very common thing. But it was something that I wondered, like, why was I born into so much wealth? And I ended up taking up a job like that, where I'm mixed in with people of all classes in society. So there's some answers I don't have with that. But yes, I do remember working in theater and circus and performing.
Wow. Now, was that in America? Did you like travel back? You know, I know you were born in England. Did you travel back to America to do all that?
Yeah, so I actually think that I started doing this in England, like where I kind of around where I live. I believe that there was a traveling circus, probably around like London or that general area. And we would have gone all over Europe, but I know that I ended up switching to do East Coast traveling. So when I was like a young teenager, I remember traveling along the East Coast of the United States to all sorts of like different towns. And we would, it wasn't identifiable where it was, because we wouldn't set up in the town. We would set up in like a random field kind of far off. So like, there was nothing that I could like discern like where I'm at that point in time.
Right. Yeah. Well, no, that makes sense. Totally makes sense. Wow. Okay. That is, I love this. This is so fun for me.
This is so fun for me too.
Yeah. Well, you know what and we were talking earlier, and one of your comments was, why do you think you came back? And why do you think this is actually happening to you? Why do you remember this? And I do think that sometimes, you know, the other side wants us to talk about this. They want us to say, this stuff isn't just woo-woo. This is real things that you're remembering. And you've had this memory since you were little. So you're in England, and then you come here, you're in vaudeville and all that. Do you remember dying? And then other things happened after that. Tell me everything you remember.
Yeah, so from the moment after I died, I remember that when it came to visiting people, the first thing that I remember doing is visiting a friend that I had made in the circus. So he was my best friend. Yeah. I don't remember much about him. I just remember that he was so important to me that I just had to visit him. I was like, dude, like, I missed you. And it always just, it makes me feel so funny when I'm like, I floated down from the sky, because it sounds so silly. But
no, it makes sense.
I totally did. I just kind of blinked and I knew who I was visiting. I had my target locked, and he lived somewhere in the desert, and it was very beautiful. I would say maybe like Arizona, but it could be anywhere, even in like the California desert. And he had almost like a junkyard style property. And I absolutely love them. There's just so many treasures everywhere. And like, especially car parts and like hubcaps and like couches, you know, just things like that were left outside. And I remember that I came down and I saw him sitting on the couch. He was smoking a cigarette, and he was in his old makeup and clown outfit. And I remember I sat next to him and I was looking very closely at his skin, because he had gotten much older and the paint was creasing in his skin. And the main thought and memory I had was just that I was thankful that he lived a lot longer than I did and got to continue things. But when it comes to remembering exactly who he was, I just think he was like, maybe it's like those coworkers that are like 10 to 15 years older than you that you're like super cool with, you know?
No, it makes sense. And I think you said in one time, you were like, it's almost like he just had to think about me and then I was there.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I forgot to mention that part, but I believe that I just ended up there because he was thinking about the circus days. I mean, it must have been probably decades since he had put on his makeup and outfit. And so I think he was just really feeling it that day, and he decided to relive it and was probably thinking about me. And I popped in to visit.
Well, you know, and also that shows you the power of energy. All he had to do is think about you and you were there, because on the other side, you're really just a ball of energy. So when you were telling your stories, you talked about when you're up on the other side, whether they think about you, you can visit them and all that. But you also talked about the reincarnation room. What?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. that one is a little bit more like, maybe not as solid, but it definitely is. But it's just like a bit harder to describe. But yeah, it was a place in between randomly, where there's like no timeline. So I can't really give you a timeline on the in between.
Yeah.
yeah, time is just not existing. Like the things I'm seeing, it's very confusing. But yes, the reincarnation room, it was, to me, it looked magenta, yellow, and purple. And it was kind of like stripes, or like, it looked like maybe like a paint spill of those colors everywhere. Mm. And there were a bunch of other like little blinking orbs, so who I would assume were souls. Wow. And it was like a big funnel. So I kind of described it as like those water slides that go into like the giant funnel or whatever. It was like those, but huge. And I just remember how it looked, like how the shadows kind of cup the round edges of it, and like the dark center and everything. But I wasn't sure what that was for years. I kind of just chalked it up to my imagination. But then years later, I found a painting on Google that was depicting exactly what I saw. Wow. And the title was called The Reincarnation Room. So, that kind of was like, right. So that totally just made me think, I was like, maybe there is a little more to these memories that we can't explain.
Well, and you even talked about going to the Akashic Records, you know? Tell me more about that.
Yeah, so the Akashic Records, I don't remember those after I died, but I was going to the records when I was a kid in this lifetime. Okay. I had no idea what it was. I just remember dreaming about it constantly. And it was, like, normal. Like, I would just go there to play and to, like, read books and whatever. Wow. And I remember I would tell my mom these things, like, where I was going. And she was already very much into spirituality. She does Reiki and stuff.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh my gosh, that's the Akashic Records. That's where you're going. And I was there. I just remember kind of stunned, like, what the heck does that even mean? You know, like, you know, so, and she kind of told me what it was. And I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And I went about my day. But the way that the Akashic Records looks is from the outside, I describe it as looking like the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York, where it's like big and white, and it has these columns and a huge staircase. And at like the front, there's like these ticket booth people that are built into the building. I describe it like an old movie theater.
Yeah.
And I would say there's maybe four or five of them like throughout the front, because it's such a long entrance. It's huge. And I would just go up and talk to them. And I don't remember what I would talk to them about, but I just remember they were like nice and cool. And when I would walk in, I would always go to the kids section. And so there's sections, I'm sure, for everything.
There's a kids section. I love it.
Yes. Oh, and I would get to play with other kids that would end up there. And I believe that the kids I was playing with were probably alive and also sleeping and they're playing with me, or that there were many that I believe could have been passed on.
Wow. See, that's so incredible. Girl, you have to see the movie Defending Your Life with Albert Brooks and Meryl Streep. It's an older movie, but it so much of the things you talk about and the things that happen in that movie. And I do think that, it's insane what you're saying. So you went there dreaming as a child. So you were actually alive dreaming and going to the Akashic Records. So what was different exposure to you other than you being just on the other side? Because when you're on the other side, now you know what it feels like to be human. When you're on the other side, I think you probably have kind of the same personality, but does it feel different? Like, I know you're not in body, but how does it feel to be different than not human there? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. So kind of like when spirits have like almost that all-knowing quality about them. Is that what you're kind of describing?
Or just the feeling of, you know, why do you need houses? And my mom's like, well, we go fishing all the time. And I'm like, what? Why? You know, you're not in, you see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just that kind of, life is pretty much like actually the same over there, if I'm being so for real. Like,
really?
It's just we just don't have to deal with like a lot of the stresses. And I think it's like that just for our comfort. So because we have human life with like buildings and places that we like to go for fun, then why wouldn't we also have those things in heaven, in the afterlife as well? Okay, this is kind of going for me a little bit different direction, but I do want to say this. So I believe that every single object and every building destroyed, there is a perfect copy of it in heaven or the astral. Really? Same thing with lost objects. Yeah, lost special items. And so basically every building that has ever existed, even every time it has been updated, there is a copy of it there. And we can pretty much live however we would like to. But I would say that it gets a little bit boring. That's why a lot of us choose to come back, because I do think that when you are dead, you kind of do have a little bit of an all-knowing quality about you, that you kind of lose a lot of like curiosity about things in the world. And so it is nice to be reborn, to kind of relearn things and to be curious and all that sort of thing. So I kind of complain because, like, my mom passed away too, and I feel like I sometimes talk to her, and I sometimes complain that I feel like she has that quality, like it, oh, like I can't surprise you or make you, you know, feel wonder anymore because you're just like already like, oh, like there, you know.
Well, the thing is, Annika, you do have free will, so she doesn't know everything you're going to do, which is nice. But also, you said something that several other of my near-death experiencers have said. They said, you know, the other side's great and all, and I was asked why I would want to come back, and we need the contrast. It's almost like we can read the book all we want, but I want to be a character in the book. I want to come back down. I want soul evolution, because up there, it's all fun and bliss and lovely. No one's upset. Yeah. There's no drama. Down here, it's all drama and everybody's upset. So, I mean, there's good things. There's good things down here, of course, too. But, you know, when we're asked up there, hey, do you want to experience for just a blip? Do you want to experience love, euphoria, tragedy, happiness, everything, right? And you're like, yes. Yeah, I do. And then you come here and you're like, what the hell have I done? So,
yeah, exactly.
So do you notice if you have abilities like psychic abilities, you know, any kind of mediumship abilities? Do you have any of that?
Yes, I do believe that I have. What's the one for knowing? It's like Claire something, but
oh,
it's when you have like, yes, okay. I feel like I've always had that since I was a kid. And I think that I would get like bouts of clairaudience.
Yes.
Like, and I know the difference between auditory hallucinations. I loved playing with sleep auditory hallucinations as kid. But there were some other like things that are a little bit unexplainable, things that I was able to hear with my ears, you know, paranormal and encounters and things like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. But goodness, what's the other one with vision? But I see life in pictures all
like
the time.
So yeah,
a lot of times when I'm experiencing things, I'll what is it? It's like the mind's eye or the third eye
Is it clairvoyance?
I just see things very clearly in my mind. And a lot of times they'll end up becoming true or, I don't know, what are they, like little predictions and things like that.
Right. Well, let me ask you this. Since you've been in both places and remember them really well, what do you think ghosts are? And real quick, I think ghosts are so many different kinds of things. And my point is, I think there's residual. I think people visit. I don't know if people get stuck because I do think they know they have a choice to go wherever they want to go, but I do think people just don't want to leave. So what do you think about it?
Okay, yeah. So yeah, I do believe in all of those like different kinds of ghosts, that some people are visitors and that some people are, it's like residual energy and, or even like manifested consciousness, things like that. When it comes to like ghosts, I do believe that some people end up like so messed up by life that they just kind of end up like, I wouldn't say trapped because everybody has the choice to go.
Exactly.
But I think that when people like say trapped, I think they get trapped in their own illusions.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Right. So kind of the same way that we do in life, they're also like trapped, but without even realizing that they can just like move on.
Exactly. No, it's exactly what happened with my dad. He wasn't the best guy and he was in solitary confinement. He was like, that's the closest thing I can tell you what I've done to myself here. And I was like, well, do you feel source? And he goes, oh, I feel source all around me. Well, like, well, why don't you? And he goes, I'm doing this because I think I need it, even though source told me I don't have to do it. So, I mean, I think it's a free will choice even to be a ghost, you know, and there's no time. So to them, it's like 20 minutes. On Earth, it's like 200 years.
Yes, exactly.
So, you know, it's just crazy. So when you went back and forth, like the transition, do you remember they had to make things comfortable for you to transition in back into the other side? And then when you picked your parents, did you have to like get counseling or something before that? What happened with that?
I do know that I waited a while, not because I particularly had a hard life. I know some people when they have really hard lives and they need to like rest for a while.
Yes.
But I know that I specifically stayed because I wanted to be back this set of parents and grandparents. Like, I must have planned, like, I must have had these people scheduled for a long time, or even they could just be like my main ride or die family,
right.
You know. But I specifically just, I wanted to make sure that I was born at, like, on this year so that I could go to school and be with my classmates, because my classmates, I also had made soul ties with them, and I needed to. Like, I know it's kind of more of like a personal thing, but I had this huge friend group in high school, and we should not have worked. Like, I mean, usually high school friend groups, like, are so filled with drama and, like, terrible, and, like, everybody hates each other. But we stood strong all through middle school and high school. Wow. Like, and we just did so much together, just had so many adventures. And so those were the people, when I was spending time with him, that made me realize this is why I came back, was I need to be with my friends again. I need to be with the people that I love. I needed to experience these things. Like, because up until that point, I had just, like, a very traumatizing childhood. Like, I only had, like, pretty terrible things, you know, happening. Aww. Like, and so it was just very much, like, I was like, wow, like, I had to wait for this. Like, I couldn't miss this for anything. So I definitely... took me a while, waited to come back for that reason.
And it's hard for people to think, I would never have chosen that trauma. Now, I do think people derail, and some things happen with free will, and people murder people. You know, I'm not saying that's always what you come down to do. But I do think sometimes we decide, well, I want to go through that terrible thing that I have to go through as a child to get where I am, to be with the people that are probably my soul family, even as a classmate. And then, you know, I can move on, and then I'm stronger, better, understanding, empathetic, you know, all the things, don't you think?
Definitely, definitely.
I do think we choose our traumas. Like, you know, some people say, hey, I want to know what it's like to lose a child, or I want to know what it's like to have an absent parent, or I want to know what it's like to die of cancer. And you're like, why would you choose that? And I'm like, well, when you're in that perfect state up there, that sounds fantastic, because you can evolve and understand. But when you come down here, nobody wants to actually live through it. Let's be honest, we're human. We don't want to live through it. But I don't know how it all works.
Yep.
It's not black and white. Like, there's not one way to do it, you know?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I've had so many of those commenters, you know, because they're trying to wrap their head around reincarnation, and they're asking me, like, well, why did I choose my parents? Why did I do this? And so I'm just like, gosh, I know that reincarnation belief is so controversial because of that, because it can come off like victim blaming, you know, it's like, because horrible things can happen to people. But I truly, in my personal beliefs, I think that we all have kind of like a common curriculum that we all have to complete within a set of lifetimes.
Yeah.
And I think that all of these horrible things, like, we need to go through. So if somebody's going through it, like, in this lifetime, they need to conquer it. They need to overcome it. They need to escape, or, you know, do what they need to make sure that they complete that lesson. So I've even had some people ask me, like, oh, like, what happens, like, with the suicide, or, you know, and things like that. And it's like, well, I mean, we have free will for that, but you're going to probably have to come back and redo the same thing until you get through it. I feel like it's not a good enough answer for some people.
I think it's religious indoctrination, too. They think, oh, my God, you're going to go to hell. No, everybody goes back. I don't care how evil or lovely you were. It's kind of like, and I know you're not a parent yet, but let's say you have a child, Annika, okay? And that child comes up to you and says, Mom, I murdered somebody. Would you say, well, I don't love you anymore? No, you would not say that.
I don't think God would do that either.
Of course. So, you know what they would say? They'd be like, okay, first of all, and of course, they may put themselves in solitary confinement like my dad did, or maybe they won't. I don't know. And he may say, well, what did you learn? I just killed somebody. I can't believe it. Well, everything's fine. Down there, you're in a play, and you were playing out all these different characters. And when you're at that play and everything's done and everybody comes out and everybody bows to the audience and everybody's clapping, and there's the good guy standing there and there's all the extra characters and there's a really bad guy standing there, and the bad guy comes out and gets the same applause as everyone else. Yeah. I mean, it's not, you know?
He's part of the story.
He's
you know?
Part of the story. And we have to have the bad with the good. Why come here then? I mean, we're already in bliss up there. Why would we come? We need the contrast. And I'm not saying I want bad things to happen to everybody, but it's just the way it is here, you know? And this is how you learn this, because I think eventually, I forgot to ask you, did you notice that you had a higher self, like a bigger oversoul? Do you understand what I mean?
Yes, we do have higher selves and oversouls. And it's pretty much like we are also our higher selves a lot of times when we are at like peace or just like at equilibrium with ourselves, and we kind of tap into that person. But I mean, it kind of just depends like how much you want to let in that higher self. I like to let mine in like as much as possible, like try to be the best person that I can.
Let me ask you this. Some people say that we are all a sliver of God, and this is kind of how I believe it. Tell me what you think. We're all a sliver of God. So if we're all like, God is within you and me and my husband and that tree and everything, right? So God is within us. So God is really, truly, we're God experiencing itself. Does that make sense? So why wouldn't we want all the things happening to us, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, as much as we are like human, we're also like the gazelles getting eaten in the safari at the same time.
You know, when you understand it that way, though, Annika, I think it makes you truly less of a victim. Like I said, I do think things can derail. I do think people just become whatever they become because of their upbringing, but maybe they planned that and they didn't realize it was going to go south in another way. I don't think everything is planned, but I do think a lot of it is. So, you know, I think you did plan to not have the best childhood because the other part after that is going to be fantastic. It's kind of what I did. I didn't have the best childhood, but now I'm in bliss. I have the best life ever and I wouldn't trade it for anything. And I think you're at that point, at least I know you're pretty young, but you're figuring things out. And guys, by the way, Annika is an amazing artist. I got to talk about that real quick. She is absolutely, the things she's shown on her videos, and she can do commissioned art. Tell us about your art. What inspired you? What made you want to do it?
I've always been an artist, like ever since I was a little kid, since I was born. It was just what I knew that I needed to do. I believe that I came here specifically to paint and to make art. And so I feel very blessed that even in my circumstances, I've been able to achieve my dreams and to go after pretty much everything that I wanted and that I set out to do.
Good for you.
And I feel like I'm living within like my true self and my purpose by doing those things.
Right. And you're also a musician, correct?
Yes. I'm more of an artist than a musician, but it is definitely a huge part of my life and part of my education.
And, you know, it makes sense because you're so creative and, you know, you tell stories. You're such a good storyteller, too, on her videos, guys. She has like a plethora of like sequenced videos on TikTok. And I'm telling you, everybody's just mesmerized. I think you've gained like 2,000 or 3,000 people watching so far.
It was in four days, almost like 2,500 people. I would say it's absolutely insane.
I'm telling you. And guys, I know Annika and I just scratched the surface. So if you guys want to hear more from Annika, I bet you I can get her to come back on and talk later at another time. But I'm telling you, I love your story, Annika. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I'm going to add all of your information about your art on my show notes so people can just click on the show notes and go straight to your website because you have been remarkable and amazing. And I love your stories.
Thank you so much for having me here. I genuinely had a blast getting to talk to you about these things. You had such amazing and thoughtful questions, and I had so much fun. So thank you so much.
Well, I love providing because I want to know at no cost. So if you like what you heard, please leave me a 5-star review, or you can just buy me a cup of coffee. It's kind of like a Patreon, but you don't have a monthly subscription and you can give whatever you feel led to give. I am a one-woman show and I do all of my scheduling and my interviewing and my editing. So just know your support is so greatly appreciated. And one more thing, I am a paranormal romance novelist and you can find all of my books on Amazon. Just look up my name. I'm very easy to find. Thank you guys again and I will see you next week.